Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs, like the XPS 16, powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know, he's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Hello, I'm Rashawn McDonald. I host the weekly Money Making Conversation Masterclass show. The interviews and information that this show provides are for everyone. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and really start living your own. My next guest is Keir Spate. He is a sickle cell warrior, and when he was diagnosed, he was told he would not live past 11 years old. Today, he's a sickle cell survivor, Hollywood television writer, co-host of the popular Steve Harvey Morning Show, hosts his own show in Atlanta every Saturday, and is a touring stand-up comedian. He started his foundation called Keir's Hope for Sickle Cell Survivors and hosts his motivational podcast, Living Your Life. Success is part of his future. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, Keir Spate. How you doing, Keir?
Hey, Mac. How you doing, brother?
Well, Keir, you know, this is going to be a journey because I want to make sure people who walk away with this interview understand that people can tell you expectations. People can try to predict your future, but it really boils down to the people around you, mm-hmm. and also what you want to get out of life, or the effort that you want to put into your dreams. Start me off with being told or being aware that you wouldn't live past 11 years of age.
You know, when I go back to that part of my life, Mac, it was always a difficult thing because my parents are young. They were young parents. They were 20 years old. And then here they are at 31, and then a doctor had the nerve to tell them that, hey, listen, don't plan a future for him. I mean, literally, don't plan a future. He's not going to make it past 11. Now, I'm 7 at this time. You know, so I'm 7 years old. So he's 37 years old. So now they thinking about the next 4 years, we're going to have to start planning a funeral. And at that time, they didn't really know what sickle cell was. They had no idea about what it is to be a parent having a child with sickle cell. And for them, it was devastating. For me, as a child, not knowing what death meant, it was just, for me, it was like another day. They told me, listen, we're going to have to make some changes according to your life. And then when I passed 11 and I made it to 15, I'm scared at this point because I'm supposed to be out of here. And then now you look at me today, I'm still here. So I never believed in the mantra of, hey, this is it for you. And I didn't know at 11 years old that was going to be a definition for my life. Like, hey, you'll never make it. It really didn't have an effect. All I had is chance. That's all. Everything I did was based upon chance. I'm going to take the chance because you already told me that I wasn't going to make it past 11. Now, here I am at 39. I have a career. I'm doing this. But I also realized one thing, Mac. There's somebody coming behind me they're going to tell the same thing to.
Talk to me about that, because you're sickle cell. You have sickle cell disease. Yes. A lot of other people out there would, some people may see a disease that might, illnesses that might be terminal. Mm-hmm. And they might go, hey, man, I'm looking for the exit plan. I don't have a future. Mm-hmm. Now, there are different steps. You went past 11, you was 15. Did you play sports in high school? Was you a social in high school?
Absolutely.
How was you?
In high school. When I was playing sports, and my dream was to play in the NFL. That was my dream. And I was a running back out of Texas. I was ranked, and I was this. I was really good at football. I loved it. I loved the strategy of football. I loved the game of football.
Right.
And when I was playing, that doctor told my mother when I was 11, and my number in high school was number 11 because I wore it with passion. Everything I did was based upon the number 11 because that's the number y'all told me. So if we need 11 yards, I'm finna get these 11 yards.
Right.
Everything. It didn't matter. But the doctor said, well, I got kicked off the team in high school my senior year, the year I had the scholarships that were up for, you know, me to go play college ball. And they took it from me. And the thing about that was it hurt me so hard. I cried. I cussed the whole coaching staff off because I've been in this one program and then one player comes in and tells the team doctor that I have sickle cell and they snatched me off of it. So now they didn't just take me off because I had sickle cell. They took my future too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. They took my future. And the thing about it was I made a decision at that moment in my own mind. That I will never let sickle cell take another thing from me. Nothing will be ever be taken from me based upon my habit of having sickle cell. The team doctor told my mother, he said, well, we're only doing this out of sight of caution. My mother stood in there and my father was sitting there. And my mother said, why would you take something from somebody? You wouldn't want to take it from your children. Mm-hmm. He's my child. He said, well, he could possibly die. My mother said this, and this is why I take the chances that I take and the things that I do and how I respond. She said, if he does die, he died doing something that he loved.
Right.
That was so important to me, which propelled me to the next point of my life because I started doing stand-up at 19.
Right. 19 years old.
19 years old. 1999.
Who inspired you as a stand-up? Who inspired you?
It was so many, man. At that time, man, you got to think about what was happening. Def Comedy Jam was happening. Mm-hmm. See, my parents were the parents that let me do what I wanted to do.
Right.
I think because I had sickle cell sometimes, but I was watching Def Jam. I was watching everything. I was watching Martin. I was watching Eddie Murphy. I saw Richard Pryor with my grandmother when I was 10. So I knew it was always in my future. You know, I saw Steve Harvey. I saw Bill Bellamy. I saw Martin Lawrence. I saw LaVell Crawford. I saw Cheryl Underwood. I was going back to high school doing they sets in the comments before we had started class. Did y'all see what this fool said? And that was my thing. And so it was always interwoven into my, I pretty much knew about 14, this is what I was going to be doing.
Right.
Because
right.
It was in me. It was in me too hard.
Right.
It was just in my character too hard. I was always doing the church plays. I was not only was I doing the church plays, I was five characters in the church play because there was nobody more talented than me. So I was Lazarus. I was the wise man. I was everybody. I was Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. I was everybody in the church play because I would go back there, change clothes. I was the only person in the church with a quick change booth. I'd go change, come back out. I was demonic man. I was everybody in the church play. It's like, what is more talented? He can play all these characters at one time.
Now, in the past, the stand-up comedy, that's an extreme from your lifestyle, you know, as a person who has sickle cell. You know, sickle cell, you watch the commercials on TV, they always talk about the pain. They always talk about the struggle. They always talk about the time limit. You know, there's that old number, 100,000 people. It's been around for 15 years. 100,000 people have sickle cell. We all know that's not true. And we want to make those changes. But as you start going up that stand-up comedy ladder, people start looking at you different. Your parents start looking at you different. How did you start to feel when you start making people laugh? And then it started inspiring you to say, I can do this too, correct?
Yes, it was. You know, going up the stand-up ladder was for me with nothing but another challenge is what it was. But it was something that I knew at the point I had the gift to do. The challenges that I was facing at that point in time at 19, I wasn't good at 19. I just had probably 3-4 jokes. That's it. That's all I could do. But I worked at it. The first time I got booed, I knew then it didn't deter me. I just went home and started trying to be better. I started watching other professionals do it. I said, okay, cool. Then I started getting to know these guys. And then I started to hang around. Then I started learning. And then I would start letting my pen write. And then I started learning how the things that I need to talk about are not the things that other people want to hear. You just start telling your story.
Right.
And
right,
then, right. So then you start thinking about, you know, Mac, when I first met you and we were doing the auditions for Comic View, craziest situation in the world, because you were selecting talent back then. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about in 2001.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and then I'm sitting here and a lady comes up to me and she starts talking to me. And you already told me, just sit down, shut up. Because I tried to introduce myself to you. Said, hey, man, I know who you are. Sit down right here. You made me sit next to you. The lady comes talking to me. I didn't say nothing. The lady starts talking. I said, ma'am, you need to go away. And then you cussed me out and told me, would you like somebody talking when you on stage? And I didn't even do nothing. No nonsense, because you were specifically there to see talent.
Right.
And then I was going this ladder. So then you gave me an opportunity. That was the year on Comic View, I got a standing ovation on Comic View for the jokes I was doing. And Mac, you didn't even stay around. You had left. You was done. You already knew what you had put together. And so then I knew then, I said, I can really do this. Nobody had to applaud me. I was looking for the applause. I was looking for the pat on the back. No, you really could do this. Y'all left me in that moment. Let me have that moment and said, you know what? You have it. You can really do this. And that's what I knew at that point in time, at 23 years old. So no matter what I was going to be faced with, just like everything else I was doing, there's challenges you can always overcome with the right support of people.
How did you position yourself to be 2002? You know, you met me. Yeah. It was a BET Comic View audition, and then you're on tour. What, just people listening, watching the show or listening to the show, what did you put in place? How did you make that happen?
First of all, I was humble enough to listen. First thing I had to do was listen. Understanding that I didn't get in the way. I knew I was talented. I never let it get in front of what I was, my end goal was. And I'm still the same way today. I was able to listen to the people who were already there. They're already in the position that you're trying to get to. So I remember when y'all had the y'all had the exhibition for all the networks, and y'all brought us down there to do
something. Right. And
I wasn't even doing comedy. I was just acting.
Right.
I remember Mr. Harvey sitting in there in the audition one day when we were rehearsing, and he said, "Hey man, good job." He said, "I don't know you, brother." He said, "But I'm gonna see you again." I'll never forget when he said that. He said, it's not me that make you nervous. It's that red light on that camera that's gonna make you nervous. If you can overcome that, you'll be fine. Now, 10 years later, he hired me on his show. See, he said, "I don't know." See, I went out before he hired me on the show. I remember James Thomas called me and said, "Hey man."
His barber, James Thomas, his barber.
Yeah, his barber. James Thomas said, "Hey man, Mr. Harvey, I know you want to come on the road and open up for him." And I'm thinking, at this time, I'm nobody. Do you know how many people you got to go through to get to me?
Right.
It's a list of people that you got to talk to before you even get to my name.
Right.
But the fact he saw something, I just remember 2002. Now we in 2009 now. And then I go to Miami and I open up for him. And Mr. Harvey came out and he said, "Brother, great job. That's what I'm looking for. I need that young energy." Then I remember, Mac, you called me and said, "Mr. Harvey want to hire you on his morning show." And I'm sitting there.
The Steve Harvey morning show.
On Steve Harvey morning
show. National platform.
National platform. Dog,
Is that a big enough red light for you? Okay, you talked about it. Is that a big enough red light for you?
Hey, man, I just remember what I was doing, man. I was watching college football. And you asked me, "Hey, Mr. Harvey, want to know, can you come meet him at his ranch tomorrow?" Dog, I turned that TV off, started packing bags. I was there Saturday. I just needed directions to the ranch. And then he told me what the mission was. And then that's when the journey really started. See, everything else was just prep. Now I'm actually on the mission and the journey. And my career just catapulted.
Please, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more money-making conversations.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Seasons change, so why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sales Event and save on select PCs, like the XPS 16, powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. Plus, complete your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at dell.com/deals. That's dell.com/deals.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Masterclass. Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald.
From that one moment.
You know, when I think about this, think about the journey of what you're dealing with and overcoming the odds, you know, people, but then meeting people who can care less about sickle cell. You know, that wasn't the introduction into the conversation about, are you sick? Are you healthy? Do you have, you know, it's like, if you allow that to be your calling card, if you allow that to be your opening statement, if you said something like, hey, I want you to do the comedy tour. You didn't say, hey, by the way, I got sickle cell. You know what I'm saying?
No.
That was, you know, and that's what a lot of people will tend to do. They want to put a roadblock in front of their dreams unnecessarily. Some information should not be shared, correct?
Correct. It does not even have to be shared, because I made it a point because I want to lead with me.
Right.
Not what I have.
Mm-hmm.
My introductory will always be me. See, I don't need the pity party.
Mm-hmm.
You give me a microphone, you put me on stage with anybody, I go toe-to-toe with anybody. I don't care who it is.
Right.
Dude, I've never ever thought that I could never be the funniest person in the room. I never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I never operate like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has that gotten me in trouble sometimes? Yes, because people fear your talents. That's just mm-hmm. what it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never take a day off from my talents. My mm-hmm. goal is, I don't care who the headline is, did you see me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never said, did you see me? Because I have sickle cell.
As we go through the process of developing your career, you came in as an actor. Well, you're 19, you want to be a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. Then acting took on. Well, I don't want to say, acting where? You know, were you doing role plays or
yeah.
what were you doing out there?
Yeah.
To build your acting career.
Yeah, I did about 5 years of my career was doing stage plays.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
Who'd you act with? Some names we know?
Gerald Levert. I mean, Essence Atkins, Miguel Nunez, Carl Payne, Patrice Lovely. I mean, it's so many of us, man. It was so many of them. I met them. Robin Givens. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were, but we on the road for 9 months, you know?
Right.
And so Essence, you know, like you see these people, man, and these are people that you develop friendships with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, it was a different life for me, because in the plays, I got to do stand-up. My character ended up with a set in the plays. My character always was a wanted to be. I don't care. You can tell me I was a UPS driver, but his dream was to be a stand-up. And then, man, on the road, when I was doing these plays, man, I had to earn everything, man. I was not only just doing the plays, I was driving the cast to the show, taking them back to the hotel. I was selling the programs at intermission. I was acting in the play. I was doing the introductory. I was doing everything, man. And I wasn't making but $800 a week.
That's a nice amount of money now. $800 a week now.
Well,
were putting you up, right? They were putting you in the hotel, right?
Yeah, we was in the hotel, man.
Were they feeding you?
No.
Oh, wait.
Your food came out to 800. Hey, you act like we all Broadway.
Oh, so a lot of buffets? Yeah. A lot of buffets in your life?
These black people, dog. Like, I wasn't at the Hall of Renaissance Theater. No.
Right.
Road, dude.
Awesome.
I had to go get it. But see, at the same time, it became a challenge because they said I couldn't do it.
Let me ask you this, because now you're really speaking a conversation that, because we're about to go to another conversation in regards to, you know, being a brand ambassador for Andare, you know.
Yes.
But before that, Junior, I did Steve Harvey Morning Show. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
On tour, I saw you. I saw you do BET's Comic View.
Yeah.
Where was the sickle cell disease? What was all these crises that pop up,
Mac?
Why am I not seeing this?
There was one time you saw it, you just didn't know it. I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I always introduced myself first. I didn't have when the next year when we did Comic View in L.A. and they didn't air that one, but I was on stage. I was in crisis then.
Mm-hmm.
I came up after Mark Curry, and I was on that show. I was in a full fledged sickle cell crisis, and I still tried to go do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You walk by me, you say, "Dog, you can't go out there with that, man. You can't do that."
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, you got to stand now. I have no insurance. So I spent a majority of my 20s and early 30s chasing my dream with no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that crisis was happening. And yet I still told you in the beginning, I would never let sickle cell take nothing from me. Good, bad, and indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
I meant that. It already happened to me. I was not going to let it happen at a moment in my life where this could change my life. It didn't work out at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But the crisis was happening. But I never showed anybody when I was going through it, because I was ashamed to talk about it myself.
Because
I didn't think people would understand. Everybody would look at me like, "Oh, he's just weak. He's just weak." Man, don't look at... That's why the challenges that I'm faced with, I have to take them as they come, because I'm not weak. I'm not that. I am talented, but society wants to tell you because you have sickle cell, we have to treat you with kid's gloves. We have to take care of you.
So now you're gaining popularity. You know, I'm sure you can tour by yourself, filling up comedy clubs, and still being a powerful ambassador or advocate for people with sickle cell, because you have sickle cell. How did you become an ambassador for Andare? And what is Andare, first of all?
Andare is a medication. It's a powder that I take every morning. And it's like giving you a boost, a start to feeling normal. You know, I have not had the issues I have with my sickle cell because of Andare. I just live my life now. Now I feel like I really have a shot at just feeling normal.
Right.
You know, because I do have the chronic pains, the chronic fatigue. I do have that. I struggle with that, and I keep a heavy schedule. But Andare will give you a boost to feeling like, hey, man, you feel normal. You feel like, is this what normal people walk around feeling like all the time? It's like you just got to the party.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I had met Dr. Abair. He came on the morning show to promote Andare. He said, "Hey, man, I want to get you on this drug." And I did. So then after that, they saw the benefit for me having sickle cell, being on the platform that I have. And they say, hey, man, we want to get this drug out here and we want to help other people like you have the success that you're having on the drug. Mm-hmm. I said, I would love to. And it grew into a really great business deal for both sides to actually change the world and what we're doing. And I didn't want to take the deal because you're going to pay me some money to just say, oh, I'll take Endart. No, I didn't want that. What I wanted them to do was, if I do this, then you have to commit to giving me this. You have to give me your 100% as a business to help me help y'all get this out here, because we have to go out here as a unit. And they believed in it. They believe in their drug. And Dr. Nahara said, yes, I love his passion. I love his testimony. I love the way he talks about it. I love the way he represents the success. I love the way he talks about how he wants to succeed and how he wants to bring others along. That's what made the deal good for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we started Living Your Life. So when I started doing Living Your Life, that became, because the sickle cell community didn't have that. There's no way. See, I started thinking about, when I'm no longer here, can a kid with sickle cell turn this on, look at it, and they have a roadmap to success for their own life? That's what I was thinking when I started Living Your Life.
Junior, Cure Junior Space, Cure Spades, straight out of Houston, Texas, traveling the world, based in Atlanta, Georgia, going on 1 year, married to your beautiful wife, living your life.
I'm living my life.
Living your life. But more importantly, I just want to sit down, man. And I felt that your story is motivational, and I wanted to share with my Money Making Conversation Masterclass audience, because a story has been told that when people tell you you're not supposed to do it, don't do it. You've been told all your life not supposed to do that, and you've been doing it, and you've been very successful at it, and you continue. So what's the future? I got the award show. I got the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I got, is it acting?
Mac, you know, like, you know, I'm in the process, to be honest with you, I'm in the process of planning my comedy special. Same time, yes, I want my own sitcom, because I want to showcase that part.
You look like you're 22. I'm just saying, you're a young looking dude. You can throw out that 40 if you want to, but you're a young looking dude.
Hey, man. I ain't looking
good. Be good to you. Or sickle cell be good to you, okay?
Hey, man. God be way better, man. But I want to do all things, man. Like, you know, I'm in the process of writing a sitcom, man. I have so many aspirations on that endeavor. I really want to show people with sickle cells that, hey, man, you can be successful as I am. Not maybe in my field, but in whatever field you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. That's what we're reaching for, we're striving for. And, man, I'm going to tell you something, man, until there's no more breath in my body, I have done everything that I said I was going to do.
Thank you for coming on Money Making Conversation Masterclass.
Hey, man, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.